Well, it's a joy to have Dr. Geiler with us, and has been at Marietta Bible Center Church. Thank you. You may be seated. And the Marietta Bible College for all of these years, and has done a wonderful job training, teaching, and mentoring young people. And so it's a blessing to have him here with us at the church. And so I apologize, the pulpit's in the way of some over here on this side, but my apologies there. But I know that the Lord will speak to your hearts and be a blessing to you. So Dr. Geiler, thank you for being at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're certainly glad to have you.
I'm happy to be here. When you're my age, you're happy to be anywhere. I went in the grocery store and the clerk said, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 90. She said, "You don't look it." I said, "What do I look?" She said, "100. Don't go back there anymore to that grocery store. Pastor Herdman, we have a gift for you from Marietta Bible College, a Bible with your name printed on it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
God bless you. Amen. You say, how do you provide for all of that group of young people? How do you provide for them? I've learned an economy concerning food. You eat a lot of rice for breakfast, drink a lot of water for dinner, and let it swell for supper. And that cuts out a meal or two. Right. We're glad for the young people. We've got a good group. We're traveling across some southern churches. We were in Chihuly, West Virginia, Monday night. We were in Abington, Virginia, last night. We're here tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll be in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And then I think Friday night, we're in Trinity, North Carolina. That's High Point, I believe, on Friday night. And then we go home, and we've got single meetings throughout the rest of the year. Just one night meetings at one church, and we'll be busy the rest of the year. We appreciate the young people, and we're glad for the way they practice and sing, and it's a great treat for them to come over from a foreign country and to be able to travel like this through the South and visit various churches, visit people in churches. Sometimes they become acquainted with someone in a church, and that friendship lasts the rest of their life. And there is a great privilege for them to travel with us through the South and the churches. I enjoy doing it, been doing it every year for over 25 years. And I have a lot of friends in churches sprinkled throughout where we are, and it's always good to go back and see them again. Gene Lashley and I went to school together in South Carolina. We were friends. We prayed together and talked together. We talked about football. He could talk about it better than I because he played when he was in college in Mississippi and when he was in high school. And I want to tell you something tonight. I come from the southern part of Ohio. If you're not acquainted with that part of what we call the Northland, southern Ohio has hills. The people there call them hills. You just cross the river into West Virginia and they call them mountains. They're mountains in West Virginia, but they're hills in Ohio. I came from the hills. I didn't come from the mountains. I came from the hills. I'll tell you the truth why I didn't play football. We didn't have enough boys in our high school to play football, to have a football team. And so we got to play basketball. We did have five, and we played basketball. But Gene Lashley and I were good friends, and also his brother. Also, the boys were from Mississippi, and and we got together and we were good friends. But what an honor to be here tonight. We consider it an honor. That's just not a political term. We really are thankful for the invitation to come in to Buffalo Ridge Church and sing tonight, and for the supper and for everything. We just thank you, and we mean it from our heart. Brother Herdman, thank you so much for your kindness to us. Thank you so much. Now, one good thing about a preacher that's 90, almost 91 years old, one good thing about it, they don't preach very long because they don't have enough strength. They don't have enough wind to preach very long. So I'm not going to keep you tonight. I'll not keep you. That's what Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband. I won't keep you long. And that's what I tell you tonight. But my text is in the book of Micah, among the minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament. You'll find a minor prophet, Micah. And I want you to look at some of the things he said in the book of Micah. Micah was a minor prophet. With 12 of them, he was one. He talked about Israel, their past and their mistakes and God dealing with them. He talked about Israel present, where they were then and the problems that they were having. He talks about Israel future, what's going to happen to Israel, and some things that will take place at the end time. So the message of Micah in his prophecy is basically a prophecy about Israel, the nation of Israel, over there tonight with about 20 million people and enemies surrounding them. And you realize the problems they've had in recent months with terrorist invasion and everything. So tonight we'll look at a few things about Israel. And to look at them, I'm going to ask you to turn to the last chapter in Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Now, in this passage of scripture, he's telling what some of the nations that surround them are saying about Israel, what they're doing about Israel, nations around them. And I pick up in Micah chapter 7, verse 14. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thy heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt. Will I show unto him marvelous things? And the nations, that's the people, the Gentiles that surround Israel, the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. There's coming a day when the Gentile nations around Israel over there are going to be confounded when they see how strong Israel is. The nations shall see and be confounded at their might, and shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, the nations that oppose them. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God. Those nations over there that surround them, giving them a hard time, there's coming the time when they're going to be afraid of Israel's God. They're going to be afraid. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Now, verse 18, I start my message. It's based on this statement that the enemy made. Who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like the God of Israel? Those people that are over there tonight, they're gods. the God that called them, the God that preserved them, the God that made them a nation, the God that brought them out of Egypt, the God that down through the years have kept them, and they've kept their language. And there's been every attempt possible made to destroy them, but they're still going strong tonight. The third greatest military power in the world is Israel. They're still going strong. And the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might, and they shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, the enemy. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. I want you to know in these verses tonight, the God that's being spoken of and described is our God. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is God in the flesh. Who is a God like unto thee? If your neighbor came over tomorrow to you and say, you went to church last night. What's your God like? You go and worship a God. You sing about him. You teach him. You preach about him. You have special music about him. What's your God like? Who is a God like your God? What would you say tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, your neighbor said, you were at church last night, you worship God. Tell me, what's your God like? What is he like? Right here in Micah, there's the answer. What kind of a God is our God? Who is a God like unto thee? Number one, he's a God that pardoneth iniquity. He's a God that forgives sins. Down here a little later it says, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. God, our Savior tonight, deals with sin. We are all sinners. There's a penalty upon us. We have broken God's law. We sinned against God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. You don't have to be a big sinner. Wages is death. If you're a small sinner, the wages is death. If you are what you call a good sinner, a good person, but not sinless, you are a good sinner. There's people that are good sinners, good people, and there's people that are wicked sinners. Doesn't matter what kind of person we are, our God, what's our God like? Verse 18, our God pardoneth sin, pardoneth iniquity, and he will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I grew up in a nominal Christian family, a brother and a sister. We went to church every Sunday, but there was a problem with that church. The pastors down through the years that I went there for 19 years, they forgot to bring their Bible. They didn't teach the Bible. They didn't preach the Bible. And at the age of 19, after going to church every Sunday, I didn't know a verse of Scripture. I did not know that Christ died for my sins. I didn't know there was any value in the blood of Christ whatsoever. I never heard it mentioned. I never heard rapture. I never heard Jesus is coming. I never heard a word about hell. Those preachers just didn't preach the word of God. What kind of God is mine? He's a God that pardoneth sin. I look right there and I see what kind of God my God is. He pardoneth sin. I grew up and I used to think of sinners. I grew up in those hills, I told you, in southeastern Ohio. They had a lot of country churches and a lot of country preachers. Preachers, some of them, good men, but they didn't know much about the Bible. But they'd go and they'd preach hard. And one of their favorite subjects was sin. They'd preach on sin, those old preachers. Now, we had one country store in the neighborhood. They sold bib overalls to the farmers and four buckle overshoes. You put a rubber shoe over your shoe and it had four buckles. Everybody had four buckle overshoes. Well, the preacher of that church in that community, he wore four buckle overshoes. But when he preached, he'd take them off and leave them out in the lobby. One night while he was preaching, a man stepped in from off the street, saw those overshoes and took them, stole them right out while church was going on. Well, that night the preacher found out his overshoes had been stolen. Now, when he came back to church the next night, he is ready to preach on sin. And he got up and said, "Somebody in here stole my overshoes, my four buckle overshoes. I left them out in the lobby. And while I was preaching, somebody stole them." He said, "I want to tell you, at the judgment of God, he's going to bring those overshoes. He's going to set them down in front of you, and they're going to be as big as a train car right in front of you, and you're going to be judged. You're going to have to answer for stealing my overshoes." That's the kind of preaching I grew up hearing, preaching on sin. Maybe you did too. If you did, you remember some of that kind of preaching. But I went to church like that. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I had sinned. I knew sin had sent me to hell. And I used to wonder, how could I get rid of my sin so that I won't be lost? I'd think about that at night. I'd think about it and walk away to a private place and think, now how can I get rid of my sins? I'm going to go to hell if I don't get rid of them. And I just couldn't find out how. One day I opened up my Bible and there it was, right on the pages of the New Testament. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Yeah. My sin takes away the sin of the world. Jesus standing there at the Jordan River, the Lamb of God. There's your answer to who can take away your sins. Jesus, you're in this church tonight, and you know that you're a sinner. You know you've never been really forgiven. You've never been saved. I tell you, who can take care of your sin problem? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He went to the cross and took your sin with him until, in a sense, like Paul said, "I was crucified with Christ." What does that mean? He wasn't hanging on the cross with Christ, but his sins were there that day that Christ died on the cross. And your sin and my sin was taken to the cross the day Jesus died. And our sins were crucified with Christ. He died for our sins. He died for mine. I was thinking the other day, and I sometimes get by myself and think, and I thought, boy, I know I'm saved. I know my sins are atoned for. But there's things I never asked Jesus to forgive me for. And there's things that I'm sorry, and I never told him I was sorry. I walked off by myself, and I just started talking to Jesus, nobody around. "Jesus, I want you to forgive me for sins that I've never, when I committed them, ever asked you to forgive me. I know you've died on the cross for me, but I'm coming back to you now, these years later, and I just want to say, I'm sorry I sinned against you. I'm sorry for the way I treated my father at a ball game one afternoon and it broke his heart. I'm sorry for times I did not talk right to my mother, who cooked and washed my clothes and worked hard to take care of me. I didn't treat her right. I didn't thank her for what she did for me." And I said, "Jesus, I'm not far from coming home, and I want, when I come home, to be forgiven of the way I treated my father and my mother and the way I treated you. I didn't know who you were. I went to school with students, other students, for all those years. I didn't speak a good word for you because, Jesus, I didn't know who you were. I didn't know about you. I wasn't taught about you. But I want to tell you, I'm sorry that I let you down. I didn't tell other people about you. And I just that day asked the Lord to forgive me for what I didn't do. I did not ask for forgiveness. I did not thank him for all the good things he did for me. And that day I just asked him to forgive me, and I want to thank you. And I believe he heard me, and I believe he did. And to be forgiven of your sins. Now, I had a brother, he's older than me, about 5 years. He got married. He married a woman. She's a member of a religion that believed they were the only church, the only one, there's only one church. She was in it. He wasn't. I wasn't. There's just one church. And there's just one way to be forgiven, and it's to be baptized in water. Baptismal, only one way to be saved, that's by baptism, baptismal regeneration, they call it. And because I didn't preach that, I became a preacher after they were married. She didn't like that, and I started preaching. She came a few times when I preached in my early ministry. She didn't like what I heard about forgiveness, salvation by grace through faith. She didn't like that. She didn't like salvation free, and she didn't like me. She did everything to keep my brother from coming to hear me preach. She wouldn't come where I was preaching. She told people, my husband's brother is a false prophet. She wouldn't have anything to do with me, believed I was a false prophet, and went that way through my years. One morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang. I picked it up, and she said, this is Sherry. Her mother was my brother's wife that didn't like me. She said, Mom's dying and wants you to come. Wow. Wants me to come. Cambridge, where they were, and Marietta, where I was, is 45 minutes apart. I said, I'll be there. And I got in my car, and I started for Cambridge about 4:15 in the morning. Drove up the Interstate 77 to Cambridge and went to my brother's house, knocked on the door. Quite a few people there. All the members of the family had come in, standing around, sad, gloom. My brother, her two daughters were there. And here I stand. I'm an outcast. They don't have anything to do with me. I'm a false prophet. And there I stood with all that family. I said to my sister-in-law, What's going on? Mom's dying. The woman that belongs to the only church saved by baptism, I'm a false prophet, won't come near me. Mom's dying. She wants to talk to you. I said, I just stood there and the family stood around. They went in the back room and got my sister-in-law that said I was a false prophet, have nothing to do with what I preached. They brought her through the door out into the living room. Diabetes has caused her to be almost blind. And she sat down. And I went over and got down on my knees in front of my sister-in-law that wouldn't come to hear me preach. And said I was a false prophet down in front of her. Irene, what can I do for you? She said, I want to go to heaven. I want to see my mother. I want to go to heaven. And I, down on my knees in front of my sister-in-law that never liked me, I opened my New Testament and I read scripture that you could be saved by believing in Christ. You could be saved by what Jesus did for us. You could be saved by grace. I said, Irene, it's not the church. It's not water. It's not being good. It's by trusting what Jesus did for you. He shed his blood for you. He paid for your sins. You can be saved by trusting Christ. I'm down on my knees 4:30 in the morning preaching, and she's listening. And I said, now, after I told her how to be saved, I said to my sister-in-law, never liked me, I said, now, can I pray for you? She said, I want you to pray. And I prayed, Lord, save Irene, save her, Lord. Help her to trust Jesus. Help her to trust what you did, Lord. You shed your blood for her. Help her to trust that and nothing else to save her soul, to get her to heaven. For it's not by works, lest we would boast and God wouldn't get the glory. It's not of works, lest any man would brag on what he was doing. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't know, there may be somebody in this church tonight like my sister-in-law. I don't know you, and I don't know you're here, but I'd like to say this. It's not by water. It's not by works. It's not by what we do. It's what Jesus did. He died for us. The work of salvation is something that wasn't given to me to do. It was a work that Jesus took and did for me. Went to the cross, was nailed to the cross, shed his blood, died, did everything needed for me to go to heaven. That's when he said, it is finished. Amen. It's all done. It's all been taken care of. It's all done. Now all the thing was left for me was to trust Christ. The only thing left for my sister-in-law was to trust Christ. I said, Irene, will you trust him? She said, I will. I said, will you pray? And will you pray so I can hear you and trust Christ? And she stumbled with words, but she said, Jesus, I want you to save my soul because you shed your blood for me. I want to go to heaven. I want to see you and I want to see my mother. Will you take me to heaven? And she said, thank you, amen. And I said, amen. And I thank Jesus for saving her by grace. And I'm thankful that that woman is in heaven tonight because of what Jesus did for her. Yeah. And there is, like I said, Micah says of our God, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Our God, your Savior tonight, and the God of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the God of this church, the Savior, he is a God that pardoneth iniquity. Iniquity, he pardons it. That's wonderful. He wipes the record clear. He takes it off the record. He is a God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressor of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He retaineth not his anger forever. I've been pastoring for 70 years or more. Everything's happened to me that can happen to a preacher. A woman walked up to me one day and said, I've hated you for 21 years. I said, well, what did I do? She said, 21 years ago, you brought a bunch of preachers in here and had a meeting. You asked me to prepare dinner and feed them. And I went out and bought spaghetti and made spaghetti for them. And you never paid me for that spaghetti. You never gave me the money for it. I've been mad at you for 21 years for spaghetti money. Been mad at you. And I almost laughed. 21 years being angry over a plate of spaghetti. 21 years angry. And while she was angry and grinding, I didn't even know it. I didn't know she was angry. And I said, if you'd have told me, I'd have given you the money, or if you'd have told me, I'd have paid for it myself. I'd have taken care of you. You know that. And I'm sorry you were angry all that time, because I didn't mean to cheat you in any way. But that woman was mad for 21 years. When the Reformation took place and the truth broke out in Europe and Martin Luther started preaching and men started following him, there was a man named William Farrell in the mountains of southern France. He became one of the reformers. He's one that stood for salvation by grace through faith. He was a reformer that taught that the Bible was the way of salvation through by grace, through faith, by the scriptures. He preached that. And William Farrell and John Calvin, the theologian of the Reformation, had a falling out over doctrine. They fell out and fellowship was broken between them. John Calvin had 13 different sicknesses, and over in France, he was ill. William Farrell, who had had a falling out with him, climbed over the mountains of southern France, up and down those mountains. For 65 miles, he walked in cold weather through those mountains to get to the house to bow his knee at the side of the bed of John Calvin and pray for him to get well and to tell John Calvin how he loved him. That's when your sins are forgiven, pardoned, and you pass by the transgressor, and God retaineth not his anger. That woman retained her anger 21 years against me. She retained it. But what's our God like? He doesn't retain anger. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He's glad to have mercy. He's glad to forgive a person. He's glad to have things right between one another. He retaineth not his anger, but he delighteth in mercy. I'm glad that our God that's being described in that passage tonight is a God that loves mercy, because we all need mercy. We all need mercy. That publican and the Pharisee walked into the temple to pray. Did you ever notice that publican and that Pharisee went in the temple to pray? Did you ever notice that the Pharisee never prayed? He never prayed. He stood there and told God how good he was. What he did, he went on the Sabbath and did this. He tithed this, he tithed that. He kept this day and that day. He never asked God for anything, and he went to a prayer meeting. He never asked God for anything. He just told God who he was and how great he was. But the publican said, watch what he said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Meaning, the sinner. I'm the greatest sinner. I'm the greatest of sinners. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he was saying to God, save me, Lord. I'm the worst man in the world. I am the sinner, the greatest sinner. Save, have mercy on me, for I am a great sinner, the sinner. I am the number one, the worst man. Have mercy. And Jesus heard the Pharisee and he heard the publican. And Jesus said, that man that asked for mercy went down to his house, went home, justified, legally justified before the throne of God, legally justified. Justification means if you're justified, God is saying about you, not guilty. Right. You're justified, you're not guilty. Right. I'm glad tonight that I read in my Bible that you're justified by faith. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, God says you're no longer guilty. You're no longer guilty. Thank God for everyone in this building tonight that's justified, because you're not guilty in the eyes of God, and you'll go to heaven and you'll not go to hell. You'll be with God forever. And we're seeing here, who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like our God? We worship him every Sunday. We read his Bible every week. We pray to him every day. What's he like? Who is a God like unto thee? He pardoneth sin. He passeth by the transgressor of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth his anger. He doesn't stay angry forever, because he delighteth in mercy. There's some four things about God that we all ought to know. We ought to know some things about God. Right there's four things we ought to know. He pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgressor of the remnant. He retaineth not his anger, hallelujah, because he delighteth in mercy. Verse 19, what's your God like? He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou will cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. God will cast our depths into the depths of the sea. He will turn again. He will have compassion. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast our sin into the depths of the sea. Into the depths of the sea. Up in Columbus, Ohio, where I was saved, March the 14th, 1954, 19 years old, walking down the street, wasn't drunk, wasn't on dope, wasn't a thief, wasn't waiting to go to trial for any crime. Lost. I walked down the street lost. Life was meaningless, and I was lost. A boy walked out on the street, came right up in my face and said, come in and hear gospel. There was an old building there. It was a theater building, and no longer a theater. The floor was slanted, and I said, I'm going over there to that movie. He said, come in and hear gospel. Before I ever remember making a decision, I walked in. I remember looking down that long slanted floor filled with people, 500-600 people. I walked down one third of the way, caught an empty seat next to the aisle, and sat down. I'm 19 years old, I'm lost. Been to church every Sunday of my life. I'm lost. My sins are not forgiven. I don't know anything about the rapture. I don't know anything about Christ coming. And I sat there. A tall preacher came out. He had a Bible in his hand, and he opened up, started preaching. And he told me that night this one truth. The death of Christ was not a defeat. It was a triumph. Christ was in a triumph when he died on the cross to save us from hell. He wasn't defeated. That was a triumph. He was victorious that night in overcoming death and saving our soul. I never heard that. I never heard in my life that Christ dying for me was a good thing. I was always mad at those men that crucified Christ. I didn't know what they were doing. I didn't know that Christ was giving his life for me. That preacher said, anybody here want to be saved? I do. Only person in there that raised my hand. I put it back down. They sang a hymn. And a man put his arm around me and said, if you want to go, young man, I'll go with you. I said, let's go. And he walked down the aisle with me, sat down on the front row, and the preacher come down out of the pulpit, took a New Testament out of his pocket and showed me verses that showed me how to be saved and how Christ died for me. He showed them to me. Now he said, do you want to be saved? this way, this scriptural way? I said, yes. Let me read these scriptures again to you. He read them to me. He said, now you're ready? I said, I'm ready. That night, March 14th, 1954, 5 minutes after 9, I bowed my head and said, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. He saved me. And that night, he was saved. I had a girlfriend at that time. She was waiting on me to get out of church and come pick her up and go somewhere. And I went and picked her up. Driving down the street, I said, she's Roman Catholic. I said, I got saved tonight. What? I got saved. Christ saved my soul tonight. And I kept driving. She never said a word. Never said a word. I pulled up in front of where she lived. She got out of the car and looked back down in and said, I'm through with you. I'm not going to have anything to do with somebody like you that says they're a Christian or they got saved. I'm through with you. And slammed the door. Then I heard the heels of an angry woman going down the sidewalk. Did you ever hear the heels of a woman that's mad walking on a sidewalk? Bang, bang, bang. She's going down the sidewalk, bang, bang, bang. They were getting weaker. Then all of a sudden, they're getting louder. Bang, bang, bang. She's coming back. And she came back and opened that door, stuck her head in and said, I wouldn't be surprised that you become a preacher. Plum. And walked away. I had never thought about being a preacher, but that made me think about it. And you're going to be a preacher. And that was the end of that. That was great. And 3 months after that, I was preaching down in the hills in a country church. And that's 75 years ago. Somebody said it wouldn't last. I've been preaching 75 years. And if you haven't noticed, I'm still preaching tonight. So thank the Lord. And what is our God like? He pardoneth iniquity. He passeth by the transgressor of the remnant of the heritage. He retaineth not his anger, because he delighteth in mercy. What's our God like? He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And he will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. Up at Columbus, Ohio, where I'm from, there's Ohio State University. We got about 70, 80 students. Ohio State's got 70,000. A big campus, right in the middle of their campus, there's a building called a library. It's got 1 million books in it. Right beside of it is a little lake called Mirror Lake. There was a male student and a female student on Ohio State campus going together, going to school together and planning to get married. I don't remember the circumstances, but they had a falling out and he shot her and killed her. He threw the gun, the evidence, in Mirror Lake, a little lake. The detectives gathered the circumstances, scraped back and forth in that little pond of water, hooked that gun, brought it up. That gun was used to put that boy in the electric chair. He was executed for murder because he threw the gun into the Mirror Lake, a little water. God didn't put our sins in a little lake so that people could fish them out and somebody could hold them up judgment day against us. He didn't put us he put our sins in the depths of the sea, in the depths of the sea where it's impossible to retrieve. Thank God our sins tonight, down in the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. They can't get the Titanic out. They can't get my sins out. Thank the Lord for that. What's our God like? He'll cast our sins into the depth of the sea, put them behind his back, never more to remember them. And he will perform the truth. He's going to do what the truth says that he told Jacob, he told Abraham. He's going to do what the truth says to you and I. And the truth of God's word tonight is, and he's going to do it. Jesus is going to, sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, one of these days going to say, Son, your bride is ready. Your bride is complete. A little boy just accepted Christ in Africa jungle. The bride is complete. Son, go get your bride. And Jesus is going to get up off the throne of heaven, walk across the golden streets of heaven, step over the battlement of heaven into space, and go down through space, traveling at the speed of thought, and come down to this earth. When he gets about the earth, there'll be a shout of the archangel, and there'll be a trumpet sound, and Christ is coming. He's coming. You say, I'm looking for him. Well, it's good to look for him, but it's better to listen, because it says what will happen. A trumpet will sound and the voice of the archangel. That's what you hear. Someday, we're going to hear a trumpet. It's going to penetrate heaven through the space and the planets. That trumpet sound, that victorious cry of the Lord as he cried to Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus. Lazarus got up, been dead 4 days, and came up out of the grave. He's going to say to you, come forth, and you're going to be caught up in the clouds and meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he'll blow the trumpet, and our friends dead in Christ, died as a Christian, buried, they'll be caught up with us, and we'll meet the Lord together in the air. I want to be caught up with my mother and my father's whose body is resting on a hillside in southern Ohio tonight. And I want to be there, and when they come up out of the grave, I want to join with mom and dad and go up and meet Jesus and be with him forever. We'll be with him forever, they say, when we're caught up to be with him. He's going to keep that word to us. The promises he's made to us, he's going to keep them just like he did to Abraham and to Moses and all of those. He's a God that keepeth his word. That's the kind of God we have. He's a God that keeps his word, and he said, I'll come back, and he will come back because he will never break his word. We thank the Lord for that. That's what our God is like. Well, that's enough tonight from an old preacher, and that's enough for you. You can think about that for a while. All right. Father, I want to thank you that we were invited to come to this church tonight and sing and preach thy word. Lord, what a great church. What a great heritage it has of preaching. And we're thankful for the good, godly pastor it has now. I pray thy blessing upon him and his wife. And, oh, Lord, may the greatest days of this church be between now and the rapture. May their greatest days be yet to come. Bless Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and bless Marietta Bible College. And, Lord, I just want to say thank you for being the God that thou art. You're a wonderful God, and I praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, preacher.
As they play, if God's speaking to your heart tonight, I'm going to ask you, all of us, to stand together if you would. And perhaps tonight you're convicted of the Holy Spirit of God is driving home the point that you need to be saved. That God that forgives sin, that God that puts sin in the depths of the sea, that God that never remembers them, needs to be your personal Savior. And if you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? You've heard a preacher that's been preaching for many decades give his heart tonight, and maybe God's speaking to your heart. Would you come and give whatever it is to the Lord? Perhaps you're here, again, not sure you're saved. Would you step out and make it certain that you know your sins are forgiven, because Christ will come again. And may we be found with our sins forgiven, our trust in Christ. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have tonight. The altar's open for you. As she plays, would you come and pray? We'll trust the Lord that He works in your heart tonight. Brother Daniel's going to come and just lead us in that verse, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. As He calls tonight, I trust that you would answer, respond.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Again, so much for being here. I'm not sure who will man the table out at the Marietta Bible College, but maybe you want some information. I hope you'll get to meet some of the students tonight, tell them what a blessing they were, and it's been a real joy to have the college here with us. Thank you for being here, Dr. Guiler. Thank you for being our guest, and we appreciate all the effort that you put into these years serving our Savior, and we're grateful for that. Brother Bob Ferguson, would you mind coming? He pastors Gunnings Baptist Church just up the road. We're thankful for him, and he's going to dismiss us in prayer. And after that, hope you'll get by and meet some of the students at the table in the back.
What a blessing. What a great message. Our Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God, the blessed Spirit of God that convicts sinners, Lord. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus who died and took my place, suffered my hell. Lord, I'm so glad for your grace and mercy. This dear man of God, Lord, thank you for this servant of the Lord. What a blessing Brother Guiler's been. Lord, thank you for this college. Lord, thank you for this church here. Lord, my heart's been so blessed tonight. I just leave here tonight and excited, Lord, about what you're going to do. God, what you're going to do in the Philippines. These missionaries going back, and Lord, as you place them and plant churches there, and they sow the seed of the Word of God. I don't know how many Tagalo and other language we've done for the Philippines, Lord, and John and Romans. God, just blessed, I pray tonight, every heart. Lord, thank you again for saving our soul. Thank you for Marietta Bible College, and thank you for Brother Guiler. God, I pray your blessings upon them and this church, God. Dismiss us now. Watch over us. We'll praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again. Thank you again for being here. And Dr. Guiler will be back in the back, and some of the students. We appreciate it. Have a great night.